Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with CJ and Bubble Boy are in the studio with me. Jerry the Diver Guy, Walt DeMartini, also Casey, connected via the web. And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit in Hour 1, about this new show called Cooper's Treasure. And it's this guy who has got hold of some information from an astronaut, Gordon Cooper. It's his son, I guess, or friend of his son, or I don't remember what exactly.
They're a little fuzzy on the details.
No, I'm fuzzy on the details, not them.
Right.
See, he met Gordon Cooper, and then he worked with it was the son of this other treasure hunter. And that's what it was. He got introduced to him, and lo and behold, when Gordon Cooper passed away, he gave his information to this guy who is now on a quest to find this treasure. And it's a big, big show on Discovery, I believe, right now.
Also and, gave him a recipe for raspberry tartlets, but nobody wants to do a show on that.
Hmm. What is a tartlet?
It's a little dessert.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, we got that to watch because there's a lot of diving in it, and I'm very intrigued by the show. A couple episodes.
What channel is it on?
I'm pretty sure it's Discovery.
Discovery.
Yeah, Cooper's Treasure.
I got to watch that.
And I'm not the only one who's been asked about this. I got a couple emails like, hey, Greg, you see this. Jerry the Diver Guy loves these type of shows. He's been watching it, and Casey has seen it, and Walt DeMartini, the whole crew. You guys are the only ones who haven't
seen
it.
No, you never told me about it. This is the first I've heard of it.
Well, you don't watch TV. I don't have to tell you everything to
mostly
watch.
Mostly I'm Netflix.
Well, that's true, and I did tell you to watch Bloodline, and you guys have watched all of that.
So. Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come back. I'm all out.
Okay.
Well, went all the way to the end.
Now you know to check out Cooper's Treasure, but that's on...
Cooper's
you know,
Treasure.
Yeah. I think
Discovery.
That's what it is. But I'm not the only one getting inundated with emails. Treasure hunters, it's a very close-knit community. And there's one treasure hunter we go to all the time, especially when we need to juice the ratings here at Scuba Radio. And that'd be Captain Carl Fismer, who is on Scuba Radio right now. Captain Fizz, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Greg. How you doing?
I'm great. Now, you've been getting all these calls or Facebook posts and messages about this show, and pretty much, isn't it pretty standard, like, hey, Captain Carl, did you see this? Is this bull crap or what? Is that pretty much in a nutshell what you get or what?
Yeah, I've got about 25 or so inquiries on the Facebook and a couple emails, but his name's Mick Close. I don't know him, but if his father was Roger Miklos, treasure hunter from some years back,
right.
I knew him.
You knew him. You knew his dad. Now, his dad on this TV show seems to be, I don't know, he's not painted in the best light. You know what I'm saying? I mean, his son is kind of like complaining that, hey, my dad was never really a good dad, and he was a treasure hunter, and all he cared about is gold, and he forgot about his kids like me, and... I mean, it's a little rough. I mean, you know, how they portray him as, you know, he got gold fever and kind of left his son to be, and they have had an estranged relationship. Now, whether they get back together and start working together here by the end of the series, we'll see. But it's an interesting, dynamic that he has with his dad. But his dad worked with Gordon Cooper, who filmed or had pictures and coordinates of all these shipwrecks that he gathered when he was orbiting the Earth as one of the Apollo missions or something like that. Is that what you've gotten out of it too, or are you paying that much attention to it?
Well, I'm sorry I didn't watch the show, but some friends of mine that I work with watched it. Basically, they said they couldn't really tell one way or the other, but I did know Gordon Cooper.
Yeah.
We were having lunch out in Los Angeles. I used to do a big gun and knife show out there twice a year, April and October, and Gordon Cooper and I had lunch, and he told me about a Spanish wreck he wanted to go after that he had found. He made it sound like he'd already eyeballed this wreck.
Yeah.
He told me what country it was in, but he didn't tell me the coordinates. He also said it had bronze cannons on board.
Hmm.
Now, a lot of the bronze cannon stories, I don't believe. Everybody says that. I wish there were, but most of the guns are iron guns, and most of them aren't worth very much money. But
yeah.
Somebody like Warren Cooper says it's got bronze cannons on it, and my ears perked up. So basically, and we talked about other treasure hunting. Here's something that I'll bet the public doesn't know.
Yeah.
Back in the 1960s, Gordon Cooper and several of the other astronauts there at Canaveral made the short drive south to Sebastian, Florida, and they worked on weekends with Kip Wagner on the 1715 fleet. So they did recover quite a lot of treasure, but then nobody knew it, and the government didn't know it because they were not over. They were under orders. They couldn't do anything with the slightest jeopardy to it, which included scuba diving. I mean, to do diving, period, not just treasure hunting, was even worse, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think they alluded to that on the show, and they said that he was kind of doing this without their knowledge, and if they would have known, they would have come down hard on him, so to speak. So that's kind of what you heard, too, huh?
That's correct. Gordon Cooper told me that himself, and I do believe it. You know, they had a lot of money invested in him, so he wasn't allowed to do anything, but he did it anyway. He was that kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, you have a pretty good nose for this stuff. I mean, did you feel that he really knew his stuff when it came to treasure hunting from back in the day, and there was a lot of legitimacy to this, or what can you tell me in that regard there, Captain?
Well, I don't know taking pictures from outer space, not too long ago you'd be laughing about it, but now that we have satellite imagery, we are finding shipwrecks with satellite pictures.
Hmm.
The problem is they're pretty darned expensive. You want to get one of the top-of-the-line shots just to ride the best weather. I recently paid $900 for one picture. We didn't find a darn thing on it anyway. So
interesting.
So
well, but this was back in the '60s when they were using this technology. So they either don't want to say that the technology existed then, because you know they go into it on the show where they talk about he was doing this and he was kind of using the technology he had available to him that was for like top secret spy missions to find nuclear test sites in Russia, and then said, hey, wait a minute, I can find shipwrecks with this stuff too, and I'll just do this when I'm not talking to them. I mean, that's kind of how they set it up on the show. Now, I you don't know anything about that stuff, I'm guessing, but in theory, you're saying this is feasible, and the technology is kind of being used that way today.
Yeah, from everything I know, I can give you a pretty strong, it could be, but go back to television, and you know, I've done a few TV shows, and I had a TV series, and when I talked to my producer about it, you know, a lady, I said, Jana, what can we do? She said, this is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can pretty much get away with anything. I'm not saying they are, I'm not saying they're not, but I had to tell one guy who was super excited. I said, you liked it that much, relax and enjoy it. You know, go with the flow.
That's right. Well, hey, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, right?
Maybe so, maybe not.
Hey, that's right. Okay, well, true. And, you know, I love it because they are showing quite a bit of diving activities in it. Just, you know, being that all these are shipwrecks and stuff. So, you know, from my perspective, you know, any diving is good diving. And if more people see it, they might want to give it a go and dive for treasure. If that's what it takes to get people interested in scuba diving, get them to take the plunge, God bless them for it. All right, Carl, can you hang on with us? I want to talk about what you've been up to here next on The Big Show, okay?
Yeah, sure. I'll hang on. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Captain Carl Fismer is our guest. He is a treasure hunter like no other. He knows everybody, Mel Fisher, the old guys. And, you know, he's their go-to guy, and he's next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is better than porn. It's like porn and Shark Week combined.
He's got no legs to kick it with. And he's got no arms to swim with. But nonetheless, he is a scuba diver man. And he's doing the best he can. Scuba Diver Man! Doing the best he can!
Scuba Diver Man!
Scuba Diver Man!
Scuba Diver Man!
Scuba Diver Man!
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
Okay, if you say so, this is Greg the Dive Master. This is Scuba Radio. So let's
take it, Scooby Doo!
Okay, we'll do that. I'll take it. I've never been called Scooby Doo, but I kind of, you know, why not? That makes sense, doesn't it? All right, Captain Carl Fismer is my guest right now on The Big Show. We're talking about treasure hunting and, you know, this show, Cooper's Treasure. And I don't know, I think we've covered that base probably enough already. So let's talk about what Captain Carl has been up to himself. I mean, are you still down there in the Naples area? I hear Mermaid Brittany was down there, I don't know, buying books from you or something just last week. So I know you're at least doing book signing events. So you diving too there, Captain Carl, or what?
Yes, actually, we were diving on Saturday and Sunday. I was doing some electronic surveys a few years ago, and we just now got around to where we're checking out the hits. In fact, I've also been working up off of Tampa. I've got, you know, Jack Haskins died 5 years ago, and I inherited all of his research, 200,000 pages, thousands of shipwrecks, and I'm looking for two in the Gulf these days. But I also, you know, I started this new thing. I take people out diving on two different wreck sites of the 1733 Spanish Galleon Fleet that sank here in the Upper Keys. Doing pretty good. I've run about 75 people through so far, not one complaint. So if you want to know about treasure hunting, I offer a one-day seminar with two dives on two different Spanish galleon sites. Anything you want to know, I'll tell you. The 1733 fleet is where treasure hunting started.
All right. Well, I want to know where the treasure is. Can you answer that?
Yeah, I'm looking at it sitting here on the table right now.
Oh, okay. Okay, I want to know where it is. Now I know where it is. Can I have some?
I'm sure we can work something out.
Yeah. Money talks, I guess, is what you're going to say next, right?
My website is www.scubawise.com. Mm-hmm. And it'll put pictures on there, tell you all about it. Come on down to the Keys one-day seminar, and Captain Fizz will show you some Spanish galleons.
Awesome. Well, you're always doing amazing things in that regard, and you are one of the go-to guys because you have all of Jack Haskins. He used to have, like, the big library of all the treasure hunting stuff from around the world, right? So you have, like, a library, I mean, stashed away in your home or some secret location. Is that fair to say?
Some secret location,
yeah,
yes.
Right, yeah.
Thousands of Jack's record. Jack was responsible for more Spanish treasure recovery than anybody. Either he jumped in the water and found it for you, or he gave you the research and you went out and found it.
Mm. Awesome. Well, I mean,
32 years I worked with him.
32 years. Well, there you go. So, I mean, how often are you going out and doing dives yourself these days, Carl? I mean, are you going out like every week almost, or just depends?
Every week, yeah.
Yeah, and just going out there and you're checking out these hits where you guys have gotten because of the maps or research or whatever, you know, other treasure map kind of things that you've found. I mean, what would you say is the strangest way you've come across a potential shipwreck? Have you ever had someone send you a secret map and say, hey, Captain Carl, you might want to go check this out? That doesn't happen, right? That's just for TV shows.
I had a guy that did satellite imagery for the CIA send me a picture, and sure enough, he had it all marked and GPS and everything, and I'm telling you, we went there. Cannons were right where he said. It wasn't a big hit, but we got 2,600 silver points from it because the satellite imagery, which is one reason I brought it up earlier.
Yeah, it actually worked.
Yes, it actually does work.
Hmm.
I can't afford buying too many 8x10 pictures for $900, but
yeah.
Yeah,
I'm hip.
It does work. And that was about the luckiest, oddest, or strangest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to ask the dolphins.
Yeah.
Other than that, I just use a walk on the bottom carrying my anchor with me on a hook of line. And if I see something, I'll just dig in the flukes, and then I go get my metal detector and have that. I've walked miles on the bottom here in the Keys.
Hmm. And is it true they say that, like, just a fraction of all the treasure that's out there has actually been found? There's literally millions and millions still out there that people just haven't come across for whatever reason. You think
there's
billions and billions.
Hmm. All of us treasure hunters have not even recovered 2%,
wow,
which is why the politicians are now passing laws against it about every 14 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, they want a piece of the action without having to do any of the work. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not right. But, boy, I tell you what, it's a life of adventure, and that's what Captain Carl lives for sure. Now, one of these days, we're going to have to go treasure hunting with you, Carl. I know I keep talking about it, but I promise we will make this happen eventually, okay? That open-door policy you have with me and my crew is still open, I assume, I hope, right?
Absolutely. Why don't you come on down free? You don't have to pay nothing. They do this seminar, and you see the El Infante and the 12-foot cannon off the San Jose. Take a lot of pictures. It's great photo ops, too.
Yeah. Well, photo ops are great, but I think all the guys here are looking for treasure. They want gold. They want to find their own fortune. Am I alone on this?
No, you're absolutely right.
That's all right. Well, I think we share that universal goal, you know, which that might be a problem.
I would trade some gold for some of those raspberry tartlets.
Tartlet, yeah, well, hey, yeah, you know, you'd be alone in that. I don't know.
They're delicious.
They are, if you say so. But I don't know, we could probably make a deal. But, well, Carl, I appreciate it. ScubaWise.com. Go there, and you can get all the information about Captain Carl Fismer and how to go treasure hunting, diving with him. We appreciate the update, and next time we need to juice the ratings, of course, you'll be the man to call. Okay, my friend?
When Greg's ratings are low, get Fizz on the show.
Yes, that's what we do.
And, like it.
And hopefully that helped as it usually does today. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ and Bubble Boy in the studio with me, Jerry the Diver Guy, and Casey connected via the web. You know, that was good stuff from Captain Carl. Who wants to go treasure hunting?
I do.
Me? Yeah. Pick me.
Okay, those two guys. Casey, you in? Are you in?
Hey,
Jerry?
I got a separate idea. You and I'll go, Greg. I've got a boat we could load with gold and then leave.
Ah, just leave the country and go buy an island or something?
Just leave Captain Fizz there and haul ass.
Okay, have him find it for us and then ditch him.
Yeah, kind of.
I'll just trade liquid gold for hard gold.
Okay, yeah, so Jerry could trade him some moonshine. I mean, spring water.
We got to haul his moonshine out there. That's not, you know, that's going to take a valuable
spring water, space. It's environmentally
it's a good thing to do.
Okay, well, we could consider that option. All right, everybody likes lobster, and I know it's a ways off for Florida lobster, spiny lobster season. It doesn't kick in until end of July. However, I got this email from our buddy Dennis, who's going to be on our Turks and Caicos live aboard trip in October with Scuba Radio. And he was asking me if I actually knew how to eat lobster. And I'm like, what do you mean, do I know how to eat lobster? Of course I know how to eat lobster. And then I watched his video that actually goes through the proper way to eat a Maine lobster. Now, I'm used to eating a Florida lobster that doesn't have the pinchers. But, you know, Maine lobster, you guys have had that.
Claws.
Right? Yeah. Claws. Have the claws, right? And, you know, of course you eat the claws and you eat the knuckles and stuff leading up to the claw and the tail.
Knuckles.
And it shows this video of him eating, but then it starts digging into the head and everything.
What?
Do you guys eat that?
No.
You can't. Jerry the Diver Guy, do you eat the head of a lobster?
No.
What about you, Casey?
Not the head, but I suppose it would be a lot like sucking crawfish.
Well, exactly, you know, and the video goes through this to say we're missing out. I'll explain next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You thought you were eating lobster correctly? Evidently not.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Kelp of Monterey Bay.
But now these dives are done.
I know one thing for sure. Now I find I'm the diving kind that likes kelp on the ocean floor. Kelp is in my plan when I go down, and I do appreciate it when it's found. Kelp is a cool mix of green and brown. Won't you please, please kelp me.
Ooh. Hey, it could happen as early as a week from today or shortly thereafter. As soon as we finish up at the scuba show next weekend in Long Beach, California, CJ and myself are hopping over to Catalina Island, and they have kelp. So we might dive in the kelp if we're crazy enough to jump in that water.
Let's do it.
And, you know, I don't know. Well, they have California spiny lobster there, so they don't have the pincher kind or the lobster with claws. But that's what we're talking about right now, how to properly eat a lobster, because I thought I knew this for years. And I get this video from our listener, Dennis. He's a super fan up in Minnesota, and he sends me this YouTube video, and he says, and it's basically this guy talking about how people do not eat lobsters correctly. And it goes through, you know, you eat the claw, you eat the lobster tail, and, you know, the claw thing is a little different for us in Florida if we're just eating the Florida spiny lobster, but, you know, you still have the carapace. And then he goes in and goes, hey, and most people don't eat the head of the lobster. And I'm like, well, yeah, I thought I don't eat it. And
no, I've eaten monkey brains, sure.
You have.
But I've
never
eaten a lobster.
You have
head.
Not eaten monkey brains. You just saw that, you just saw Indiana Jones, the movie, and thought.
No, I don't have monkey brains. Yeah.
So anyway, so he's like, people are not eating the lobster head, and that's there's some really good meat in there. And
that
he shows
disgusting.
The video. It looks pretty funky, but he cracks it open. And he shows the lobster head, and he starts, you know, he shows like, okay, break it back this way, pull it back, and then you'll see all this meat in there, and it'll take a while, and then he shows, look how much meat is there once you all pick through it. It's like, you know, if you pick through a crab, you know, I don't eat crabs because they're a lot of work.
They are a lot of work.
They're kind of messy, so, you know.
But they're good.
They're good, and the same thing with this lobster meat thing. And then and also, when you peel off the back of the head, you know, there's this brown gooey mess that I always thought, I don't know what that is. Anybody know? Jerry, the diver guy, he would know. I always, you know, kind of.
Punami.
It's what?
Punami.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. It was like lobster poo
that's
or
I've
something.
I always thought it was.
Yeah, evidently it's not. I don't think it is. And he said, like, a lot of people don't eat this, and sometimes, you know, it can be full of toxins.
A lot of smart people.
Yeah. It doesn't look very appetizing, but he acted like, hey, this is the best tasting part of the lobster. But and maybe he was punking everybody, you know, I don't know. But he said, you got to be careful because sometimes it can affect people in a negative way. Like, it can be full of toxins, you know, like all kinds of gooey. I mean, it looks like a gooey, pooey mess.
So it's like hagfish slime for
it
humans.
It could be, yes.
For humans.
The hagfish slime of the lobster. but anyway, he's like, yeah, you can eat it. It's really tasty. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'll skip that part. But he did pull up a nice big pile of meat after he picked through the head and stuff like that. And then he took the claws, all the, you know, the eight claws, I guess they have, or legs, right? Well, is it eight that they have? Count them
six.
Quick.
They have eight.
Six.
Eight or six.
Eight or six. Let's see.
Not a cockroach.
Or six or eight.
Yeah, we'll go with six, maybe. Maybe six. Well,
about
eight 69. If you they're eight if you count the claws, I think. So maybe that's what it is. So yeah, there's six leftover little skinny things, and he says, "Oh yeah, yeah, you want to get in there and like suck the meat out of them or something." So I was like, "That seems like a lot of work."
Suck the meat.
Okay, and so anyway, so that's how you know if you don't go the full Monty when eating your lobster, you're very wasteful is basically, you know, the moral
I'll
of this
I'll stick to the
video.
Tails.
You're just going to go with the tails?
Yeah.
Well, and the claws if it was a main lobster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget the butter.
Well, if you eat that gooey mess, you might use that gooey mess that's under the head of the lobster as you know, a replacement, nature's alternative to butter.
No, it's a hallucinogen. Don't touch it.
Well, it can be. It affects people differently. So maybe build up a tolerance to it. I don't know what.
Maybe we let drunken sailor eat it first.
Yeah, there's an idea.
That's not nice.
It doesn't have to be nice. It just has to be fun for us to watch.
It's good for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we're going to sacrifice anyone's well-being, it should be drunken sailors.
17 minutes.
He's got enough alcohol in there to kill it anyway.
Yeah, good point. That's right.
He could make it into a blended cocktail with some vodka. He'd never know.
Hey, there you go. It could be like a white lobster Russian or something. I don't know. But anyway, so there you go. Now you know how to properly eat a lobster. And if you don't believe me, just...
Well, I was hungry, but...
How to eat a lobster on YouTube. What do you
chop
mean?
Chop off their head, suck out their guts.
You're talking about gooey messes and lobster heads.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Casey brought up the thing, and that's exactly what I thought, too. It's like you suck the heads out of crawfish in New Orleans. So why wouldn't you do the same or you know, blow off the meat in a lobster? You know, it's the same thing. It's just a giant shrimp, isn't it?
Scrump.
Shrimps.
Big old scrump.
Yeah. So
scrump shampoo.
You know, so, I mean, maybe they know something that we don't. I mean, they suck.
Well, you can have the gooey mess. I want nothing to do with it.
Well, I mean, you know, the only reason you don't suck it out of a lobster is too dang gone big to get your lips around that.
Too dang gone big.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is slightly disturbing conversation, but that's just what we do here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Hey, if you're going to write this up in an article, I've got an excellent title for you.
Okay.
Lobster eating. Heads or tails?
No, heads and tails.
Cut that out.
Okay, heads and Bugfest. By the way,
crap.
We will keep our our attention focused on Bugfest, which will be a lobster mini season in Florida.
I bet Pup will be down for that.
Oh yeah, he will. It's already set on the calendar. Last Tuesday, Wednesday of July. Right down there at Lauderdale by the sea.
Same plan?
What do you mean?
I don't want to say on air, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll be down there hosting the festivities, having fun with our friends
at
Lauderdale by the sea and just having a big old time. Bigger and better than ever.
That's some fun diving down there.
Well, it is, of course. Absolutely.
It's lazy man diving.
It's what, Jerry? What'd you say?
It's lazy man diving.
Well, lazy man diving.
Drift diving.
I think we might have to have a lobster head sucking contest this year and come up with, whoever sucks the most heads.
I'm not coming down.
What do you mean you're not coming down? Come on, Jerry.
I just can't suck the guts out of a lobster.
No, not you. But if you're going to have to bring down the spring water so we can get, some innocent victims.
Enough,
I mean, participants to play ball with this. Idea.
We can arrange that.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Good. All right.
Suck the meat.
The other story I wanted to throw out to the class today was about this guy who is promoting free diving with orcas. Which
the wolf of the sea?
The wolf of the sea, killer
That's
whales.
The last we saw of him.
Well, he's it's a south. He's in South Africa, I believe, and there's some videos and pictures and stuff, and he's getting quite a bit of juice online right now. And you know what? Hey, more power to him. I mean, it's a pretty cool video, and the pictures look amazing.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Very serious.
Mm-hmm.
What's to stop them from just munching him like an appetizer?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But, so he's just lucky they're not hungry.
Yeah, you know, I had a guy on our trip into the Galapagos do just that. He jumped in the water when we were watching a pod of killer whales, about eight of them. And we had two little inflatable boats that were chasing or, you know, following them as they were chasing a seal that they were munching on. They were actually catching the seal, and then they would catch it, sling it around in their mouth, and then spit it out and go catch it again like a cat toy. And for whatever reason, he was from California, by the way, surfer kind of kid, and he jumped in the water and decided he thought it'd be a good idea to go snorkeling with him. Until he jumped in the water and they stopped swimming towards the seal and stopped to check him out. And then, you know, he told me later, I just kept saying to myself, don't be a seal. Don't be a seal. Don't be a seal. They yanked him out of the water and he lived. So he free dived with the orcas.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Is this really what you're going to do for the rest of your life?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, hanging around with a bunch of animals, getting drunk every weekend.
No.
I'm going to get drunk every night.
I like beer because it is good. I drink beer because I should. If there was a song to sing, I sing it and beer you drink. I drink beer when I am sad, because the beer is makes me glad. Now there's nothing left to say, so let's go drink beer.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! And some beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Beer! Beer! Beer! Beer! Beer!
If you insist, okay. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And it is Scuba Radio happy hour today, too, so why not have some beer? Next week, you will hear my little adventure with Scuba Radio's Drunken Sailor at the Wine and Spirits Association trade show. It happened here in Orlando last week, and I want to warn you far in advance that, it was a unique adventure that you will not want to miss, and I don't know, you've been warned. So that happens next week.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, me too. We had to do some editing and bleeping and things like that before it was ready for air. So that explains why it's being delayed a week or so. But that's next Saturday on The Big Show. A couple quick things here before we wrap things up on today's two-hour radio spectacular. We got some viewer mail from Jerry. He says, hey, guys, I'm a Patty master instructor. I have lots of stories and things that happened when I was teaching students in the pool and the classroom. I'm a commercial diver. I've worked on 4 cruise ships for NCL, teaching snorkeling. Cave and cavern diving was my specialty, and I would enjoy sharing some funny events I saw in my 30 years of instructing. Some funny and some alarming. Thanks for the consideration.
So he's booking himself as an interview subject.
You know, and I guess he emailed us, you know, through scubaradio.com, through the website. And, yeah, you know, Jerry, we always welcome these kind of things, especially when you say some funny and alarming anecdotes that you'd like to share. The alarming part is what we tend to focus in on here on The Big Show.
We all need alarms to wake us up in the morning.
Yeah. So if you ever have anything like this, if you want to throw us some ideas of what you'd like us to talk about here at Scuba Radio, info@scubaradio.com, or you can just contact us like Jerry did here through the website. And, Jerry, you know, please follow up, and we'll see what you have for us. I mean, he just kind of teased
us. So we already have Jerry the diver guy. This would have to be Jerry the instructor guy.
Jerry the, the cruise ship storyteller guy? I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to work on
that. Email Jerry.
Email Jerry?
I don't like that.
Yeah, that doesn't really have a ring to it.
I'm going to try to think of something one day.
Yeah, maybe Jerry the diver guy can come up with something for a second Jerry. Jerry 2. No.
Jerry number 2.
Jerry number 2.
Jerry the wannabe. Jerry the wannabe. That's it. Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't know.
Gerrymandering.
No. All right. Well, a couple other ideas that I'm going to throw out there to the class. And Jerry number 2 could reply to this as well. But, you know, we had our 20-year anniversary show there at Beneath the Sea a few weeks ago.
I remember that.
The fallout is still happening as we speak.
What did we do? What did we break?
We had Scuba Radio 20 years still sucking on air. We did our little play that we did it.
We messed quite a bit.
Yeah, we messed up pretty good there. And people, I don't know, ironically, our twisted listeners seem to have enjoyed our presentation that we offered the world on April 1st, 2017.
You mean your big April Fool's prank?
Well, it wasn't a prank. It was an anniversary show spectacular. That we put
wrapped
on.
Up in a prank, rolled into an enigma.
History, a 6-minute history of Scuba Radio
inside a hard candy shell.
Okay, yeah, it was kind of like that. It was a treat.
I can't believe it took 6 minutes.
Yeah, good point. But past, present, and future Scuba Radio, whole little thing. If you didn't catch it, go back and listen with the rest of the class, and you can get caught up. However, we have decided or are looking into the possibility of you know, stretching this 6 minutes of fame into a little longer kind of thing, into the industry event for the DEMA show, which happens in Orlando first week of November. And, you know, this was an audio presentation that we offered up on April 1st that we're considering.
One-hit wonder.
You know, it's kind of a one-hit wonder, yeah. But more people are considering or have asked if we would be, you know, willing to present this extravaganza in front of a live audience at the DEMA show. And I was like, that's going to cost.
You're rootin' tootin', right?
Well, it's going to cost money. There's staffing issues. And I'm thinking, how could we do this? It's going to, you know, be a big headache. And then I thought, hey, puppets. Why not? We'll just do puppets. And
seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Puppets.
We already have the mermaid puppet. And, you know, she's been popular in her own right over the years.
Did you fall and hit your head?
Yes.
She has been used
a couple times.
Abused.
Yeah. It's medication. I can come up with many excuses.
Sounds like a children's show.
Spring water. No, it's kind of like Greg the Dive Master meets Mr. Rogers.
Like Crank Yankers.
It's going to
be
maybe
a drunk show.
Crank Yankers. Hey, I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! It's something like
that's
that.
Very offensive.
And so we're flirting with this idea. If you think it's worth our efforts to put on a, you know, the Scuba Radio 20 years still sucking on air.
Puppet show.
In the in puppet form to appeal to a wider demographic of listeners and viewers, because this would be a visual experience that we, you know, we would
have. Hey, we could call the puppets felt up.
But don't blame us if you go blind from it.
Well, I want to be one of the cranky old men in the balcony.
Okay. Yeah.
Done.
We're going to need CJ and Casey. I've been typecast.
Hey,
two old guys.
Hey, y'all suck on air.
Yes. Okay. There we go. All right. That's enough auditioning. All right. Well, we'll see how that unfolds.
Jimmy wants the squid puppet.
He tried eating without a squid.
Till next time. Remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Downwind Twitter.
Yeah,
safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.